Midnight on Sports Radio WEEI. Boston Sports Talk for Insomniacs and the Graveyard Pack. Let's get it going with Patrick Gilroy. Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
Hour number two, Late Night, right here, Sports Radio WEEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you guys as we make our way till midnight tonight. Number to join me here, 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And we spent most of that first hour talking about the Patriots, Rob Gronkowski, and the little sort of drops, the innuendos, the not-so-secret details that continue to slip out that, in my opinion, all spell one thing, that Gronk is going to retire when the season is over. Now, nobody's really come right out and said it, anybody in and around Rob Gronkowski, because I think it's hard for people to sort of comprehend, hard for people to believe that a guy that is 29 years old, that is as dominant as Gronk has been. I mean, the drop-off hasn't been this long, precipitous drop-off. It's simply, when you look at his production this year and the effort that it's taken Gronk to get on the field this year and the fact that he's still really unable to get on the field, you have to ask yourself, if you're Gronk, is it all worth it? And you combine that with the fact that this guy has been so injury prone going all the way back to his collegiate days. I mean, let's not forget, that's why the Patriots even had an opportunity to draft him, because of the injury situation to the back. And then you look at the fact that in 8 years, he's had season-ending injuries three times. And in the other years, for the most part, he's missed multiple games every year with nagging injuries. This is not a guy that's really ever able to stay healthy for an extended period of time. You know, and now this year, unfortunately, he's missed two out of the last three games. And here we are. It's, what, 11 o'clock on Friday night. The Patriots play at 1 o'clock on Sunday. And they're still not sure if Gronk is going to be able to play in the game against the Titans. I don't think he will. I think ultimately what's going to happen here is they'll hold him out of this game. The Patriots have got the bye week. He gets an additional week off because of the bye. So essentially, by not playing him, you know, keeping him out for this weekend, they're buying Gronk another 2 weeks of recovery, because they're not stupid. They know that, you know, for them to achieve their ultimate goal of getting back to the Super Bowl, they're going to need this guy to be as close to 100% as possible. But you see the hell that he has to go through to get to 100%. And we're not sure if he will even ever get there again, because going into the season, Gronk told anybody with a microphone, anybody that would listen, that, yeah, he's 100%, that he felt as good as he had felt in years. That's what he said. And then he went out in game one and he played very, very well. And everybody said, oh, good, look how well Gronk played. Look how well Brady played. I guess they didn't need the OTAs. And since that game one, where he had his only touchdown of the season, Gronk has been pretty underwhelming when he's been on the field. And when he's been off the field, the poor guy, he's been unable to really be himself. And for me, that's a real red flag. For me, when I look at this and I read between the lines, again, I reference Ryan Hannibal's piece on WEEI.com today. Good stuff from Hannibal. You know, but essentially, asking Gronk if he's having fun, if he's happy. And it's a very easy question to answer. And Gronk was unwilling or unable to give the answer that Patriots fans wanted to hear. He gave sort of a vague non-answer. This isn't, you know, asking about another team, another player. This isn't asking about, you know, what happened last week, when you have to give the typical Patriots answer, non-answer BS that Belichick sort of mandates these guys give. This is a easy question to answer. Hey, are you having fun? Yes or no? Like, and he goes into a typical Patriot answer, an answer without really answering the question. And if Gronk's not having fun, then I just don't think that he is long for this game. I don't think he's long for the Patriots organization. And he's already let it be known that if the Patriots wanted to trade him, sure, go ahead and trade me, but I'm going to retire. So he's got no interest in playing anywhere else either. So for all these reasons, you put them all together, you read between the lines, and then you just add into the fact that his family in the offseason sort of begged him to retire multiple times. And, you know, that's, for me anyways, is somebody that values what my family has to say, and somebody that knows that, you know, family sometimes butt in and they sort of put their nose where they don't belong. Ultimately, they do it because they love you. Ultimately, they do it because they care. And Gronk's family loves him. Gronk's family cares. And Gronk's family has been pulling him in the direction of retirement, because they don't want to see him become, you know, one of the walking wounded and go into his post-playing career, a career in which he is set up very, very well to do many, many, many other things in the public eye. And they don't want to see him jeopardize that because he played an extra year or two in the NFL. and that back condition became a crippling back condition, or he tears apart the ACL, MCL again, or he gets another concussion and eventually, you know, his mind becomes mush. It's just not worth it. So for all those reasons, I think we're watching Gronk's final, you know, season here in the NFL. As a Patriots fan, I hope I'm wrong. But as somebody who has got to come on the air virtually every night and sort of talk about these things, the more that I read about it, the more that I study up on it, the more that I read between the lines, the more convinced I am that this is actually going to be the reality of the situation here, however and whenever this Patriots season ends. It is Sports Radio WEI. It is late night. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. Let's get right back out to the phones tonight. Let's go to Steve. Steve's in Winchester. Steve, you're next up here on WEI.
Yes, how you doing? How are you?
Good, Steve. What's on your mind,
man?
I
like your show. I listen to it every night. You're a good man.
I appreciate that.
Now, listen, we all know that Gronk makes it well known that he has not spent any of his money he's made from playing football.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think that Kraft does not give him money when he doesn't make his incentives, you're crazy. So keeping him out and him missing games does not matter. He gets his money at the end of the year.
You think he's going to get the extra five just sort of like on the, off
yeah,
the side? Okay.
Yes, they're going to give it to him no matter what. They don't have to tell you they do because Kraft can give it to you out of his pocket. But he is a smart man, Gronkowski, and he's going to stay until Brady leaves.
What if Brady plays till he's 45? That's four
he's
more years.
Stay because Brady does not put him in predicaments that he's going to get hurt. If he's going to put a ball up in the middle of the air knowing that Gronk is going to get killed, he won't throw it. He'll throw it away. Whether it's third down and 10, third down and 8, he will throw it away. He will not put him in a predicament to get hurt.
And
he knows that.
Steve, let me ask you a question. Listening to Gronk today, and listen, I don't necessarily disagree with your premise. I feel like Brady wants Gronk here, and Brady's going to do everything that he can to avoid Gronk getting hurt. You're right about that. But listening to Gronk in speaking with Ryan Hannibal and the rest of the media today, what did he say? He said that, you know, he's having fun when he's on the field performing the way that he's used to performing, and he hasn't been doing that this year. That's why this whole question of, you know, having fun has come up. So it's a situation where, like, is he interested in going out there and essentially being a shell of himself or being 60 or 70% of the player that he used to be? Do you think that's enough to satisfy Gronk to want to put his body through all this hell every year?
Well, it's like you said, not so much like when he plays, he looks great and gives 100%. So why not like they're doing now? He's ready to play, but they're not going to play him. We don't need him against Tennessee. We won last week without him, and then we have the bye week. They're just keeping him healthy until the playoffs come. It's just like last year in the Super Bowl against Philadelphia. They let him go, and then when it comes to crunch time and we need yards and we need first downs, they threw the ball to Gronk how many times in a row?
Oh God.
All of a sudden the third quarter, fourth quarter was Gronk's quarter, right?
Yep, you're right.
Boom,
you're right.
Boom, boom.
You're right. And you know, I never really considered Gronk really being a full-time, part-time player for multiple years, but I think that's sort of what you're insinuating here is that the Patriots, sort of by design, until Tom Brady retires, are going to sort of use this guy as a part-time player throughout the regular season to maximize his potential in the playoffs. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly, and they're going to give him the money that he wants because he's worth it, because if he's not going to trade to another team because he's not going to let another quarterback put him up in the middle of the year and let him get crushed by somebody because all these guys in the backfield – are 180 pounds and they can't compare to him, so they try to kill him. So he knows that Brady does not put him in circumstances, like I said, I hate to beat a dead horse, put him in a circumstance to get himself hurt. But Gronkowski's a winner. He wants to win. He wants as many rings as he can get. He's not an idiot, and he cares about records. And I mean, and you know, Tom Brady puts off that he doesn't care about records. It's all about records. I know it's all about team winning, and you know, I think Tom puts the team first, but he still cares about his records.
Listen, Steve,
you don't think Gronk is all about the people and, you know, putting his name out there and going on cruises and this and that? You don't think he wants his name put down in record books?
No, of course he does. And listen, Steve, I appreciate the phone call. Good stuff there. And look, you bring up some things to think about here, but I never really considered, you know, Gronk being a part-time player by design. And if that's something that the Patriots are working with him on, then bravo. They're going to have to sort of be somewhat secretive about it, because it's not going to fly across the rest of the NFL to do that for 4 years. It's one thing to do it for, you know, a year or two, but I can't envision a scenario where Gronk plays another 4 years. I don't see that, unless something drastically changes. And, you know, the texts come in at 37937. There's a good text here from the 508 that says, Gronk can't keep up without being juiced up. Go back out there and compare pictures on how his body has changed, along with just being injury prone. He will not be the same until he stops the Brady diet nonsense and bulks back up to stay at the level that he used to be at. And I don't necessarily disagree with that. You know, the Tom Brady method works for Tom Brady because, let's face it, at his position, he doesn't have to be a physical beast. He doesn't have to be the specimen that Gronk has to be. And there is something to the whole pliability thing for Tom Brady, because he anticipates, for the most part, when he's going to get hit. You know, there are the occasional hits that are devastating and could potentially injure Tom Brady. But for the most part, he's so intelligent, he sees the plays developing before they develop, and he anticipates being hit. And he crouches his body up in the right position, and it's just uncanny how he's able to avoid serious injury. So the combination of anticipating the hit before he gets hit, knowing how to position his body to absorb the blow, and all the pliability training, so when his body does get that blow, his muscles sort of expand and contract rather than bones breaking, right? That's important. Tom Brady's talked about that. Gronk plays a different position. It's a different physical need. You know, Tom Brady doesn't have to go out there and be the strongest guy on the field. He doesn't have to go out there and be the fastest guy on the field. He has to master one thing, and he's mastered it better than anybody that's ever played the game at the quarterback position. But make no mistake about it, if Gronk and Brady are on the identical diet and are on the identical sort of physical fitness plan, then that's a big mistake. I don't think that's the case at all. I do notice the fact that Gronk isn't quite as big as he used to be, but that doesn't mean that he's necessarily doing the Tom Brady diet 100%. I cannot imagine a scenario in which Rob Gronkowski does away with, you know, red meat and does away with the occasional alcoholic beverage. That's just not who he is. Where Tom Brady, he's a family man. He's got kids at home. He's got a wife at home. So doing away with the alcohol in the personal life wasn't as much of a sacrifice for Tom Brady as it would be for Gronk. Gronk is a social guy, and in the offseason, he likes to go out there and have as good a time as anybody, right? Those are the things that he likes to do, and alcohol is a part of that, and it's a part of the Gronk personality, the Gronk persona. So while he may have incorporated in some of the TB12 method, I don't think that there's any sort of situation where Gronk's adopted it entirely at the level that Tom Brady has. I don't think that's a real reasonable thing to even consider. But it is Sports Radio WEI. It is late night. When we come back, there is room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937.
Patrick Gilroy rocks late night now on Sports Radio WEI.
Sports Radio WEI. It is late night. My name is Patrick Gilroy. As always, the number to join me here is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And I love that that intro. It says Patrick Gilroy rocks late night. I don't really rock much of anything in my life, but if I rock late night, I guess that's a good thing. It's funny, when they made those intros for me, they had no idea really who I was and what I do. So when I first came in, there was nothing with my name on it for like the first 6 months that I was doing this job. And finally, I think at some point they realized that they weren't going to get somebody else to come in here and work for the amount of money that I'm willing to work for and willing to say yes as often as I say yes. So they started making some personalized intros and liners for me, and that was great. But they did them with the music already sort of programmed in the background, and it was all like techno music, to the type of techno where like you have glow sticks in your mouth, that sort of techno, and that's never been me. I don't know who told them that that was appropriate for me or why they did that, but when Arcan was here, it was sort of like late 80s and 90s rap and late 80s and, yeah, sort of hair bands, those things. And that's very much who I am. And all of Arcan's music went out the window, and suddenly it's like techno time. And I look at Reamer, and I'm thinking to myself, maybe Reamer should have the techno music with the glow sticks, but that's not me. So they pulled the techno out after a couple of weeks, and suddenly it was Gilroy's Rockin' Late Night. And I'm not going to complain, because This is where I want to be. This has been the goal all along. And I don't want to be that guy that always complains. So I will eventually rock late night. Until then, I'm just going to do what I do. And I don't think what I'm doing is rocking much of anything. But it is sports radio. WEI, plenty of room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. A quick Celtics update here. End of three in Utah. The Celtics, they trail 93-80. And quite frankly, it could have been worse. The Celtics really fell behind there significantly in the third quarter. They came back a little bit, showed some signs of life, which was a good thing. The fact is this, the Jazz, I know they're 5-6 on the year. It's been underwhelming for them, but they're a very talented team. They're a team that's expected to finish in the top three or four in the Western Conference this year. And the Celtics there without Kyrie Irving tonight, who's at his grandfather's memorial service. Gordon Hayward in his first active trip back to Utah, 11 points through three quarters, four assists in 19 minutes. Not bad. First time in double figures in about 10 days for Gordon Hayward. Last time he hit double figures was the 18-point performance a couple weeks back against Milwaukee. So we'll continue to keep you guys updated on what the Celtics are doing out there, see if they can make this thing any closer, see if they've got another miracle fourth quarter in them like they did last night. Until then, let's get right back out to your phone calls tonight. Let's go to Patrick. Patrick is in Connecticut. Patrick, you're next up here on Sports Radio WEI.
Hey, Pat, how you doing tonight?
Oh, I am living the dream, Patrick. What's on your mind, man?
I bet, man. Hey, just wanted to ask you a couple questions about the Celtics.
Yeah, let's do it.
You know, last night was a huge comeback win with the Celtics. Kyrie Irving was amazing, along with a lot of other role players. So my thought is, I know we had talked a couple weeks ago about Jaylen Brown. You know, guys like Markieff Morris coming in, hitting that big shot last night. Do you think they would go out and let Jaylen Brown go and get other guys like that to make the push, to hit big shots like that, clutch time, and being able to make that run in an overtime or fourth quarter push? And then the other question.
Are you talking about using Jaylen Brown as like a trade asset?
Yeah, for you know, the future and those other, you know, guys who are role players like Markieff Morris that comes in and hits a big shot to move forward. And, you know, my thought was in the offseason, they would go after a guy like Jamal Crawford, and they didn't push for any of that, which kind of blew me away. And I heard a lot of talk about him not being in Brad Stevens' system and going for it. So I want to get your take on Jamal Crawford and the Celtics.
Well, listen, Jamal Crawford wanted to play here. He told anybody that would listen that there were three teams that he wanted to go to, and the Celtics were on that list, and the Celtics were interested in signing Jamal Crawford as well. He was willing to play for the veterans minimum and all that. What really put an end to that conversation was, remember towards the end of the offseason when Jabari Bird sort of beat up his girlfriend, choked out his girlfriend, and at that point the Celtics essentially put him on this indefinite leave. The problem was at that point he was already on the 15-man roster, and the Celtics can't just cut him because the collective bargaining agreement, the Players Association, has got these rules in place. So as much as we probably will never see Jabari Bird ever suit up for the Celtics again, this process has to play out. And the Celtics at that point, because Jabari Bird was their 15th guy, even though he's not with the team, they didn't have the availability to bring in another player. So they ultimately lost out on any opportunity to get Jamal Crawford.
Ah, that's the reason. Because like I said, if they were able to somehow let go of Jabari Bird and goodbye, sayonara, never see him again,
yep,
and bring in like a guy like Jamal Crawford, I think their three-point would have been lights out, clutch time. For example, last night, Markieff Morris was the guy to hit the three. He made it. Awesome. But a guy like Jamal Crawford would have been that guy, clutch time, playoffs, you know, and then this push for, you know, what they're talking about, bringing another banner to Boston, that would have been the guy, in my eyes, to bring in to, you know, the Boston Celtics organization, because Jamal Crawford is lights out still to this day, and he's older.
He's 38 years old, but in limited minutes, you're right. How old are you, Patrick?
I'm 30.
Okay, so you're 30. So 2008, Sam Cassell. He was 38 years old, and he had big, big moments for that Boston Celtics team at the end of his career. You know, Jamal Crawford could have a very similar role here. Here's the thing. He signed with the Suns. I think he wanted to get onto an active roster, but at 38 years old, he's not all that interested in being on a lottery-bound team. I think Jamal Crawford eventually, sometime, you know, before the trade deadline, is going to become available again. The Celtics will probably be in on him because trading for him is very different than signing him. When you trade him, something's going out. And then the other person I want you to watch out for, right now there's already plenty of talk coming out of Cleveland that they are, it's going to be a fire sale very soon. Two guys, and one of them I've got no interest in, but they're very interested in doing away with J.R. Smith and Kyle Korver. I want nothing to do with J.R. Smith, but at 38 years old, Kyle Korver is the type of natural sharpshooter that I think could be a big difference maker for this Celtics team.
Correct, and I agree with you 100%. Kyle Korver is the guy, and let's hope that we hear some magic in a hat come forth with him coming to Boston. That'd be great. And like I said, yeah, I just wanted to get your opinion on Jamal Crawford. And it's unfortunate, but like we said, we got to make do with what we got, and we got to keep pushing and hopefully bring that banner home this year.
Absolutely, Patrick, man. I appreciate the phone call. I love when a caller sort of transitions me to the Celtics, because eventually you guys know I'm going to get there. So anytime I'm doing something else here, you guys know that the Celtics calls are always welcome. It was funny because throughout the summer, you know, I'm doing Red Sox review quite a bit. That's what we do from 10 to midnight, essentially, after Red Sox games. Then we flip it to late night at midnight. So midnight to 2, it transitions into late night. But it's still that four-hour shift from 10 o'clock till 2 o'clock in the morning. So plenty of times I'm scheduled to come in here and be that guy, and I'm doing Red Sox review. And I'll do like 90 minutes of straight Red Sox calls, say like killing David Price or something like that. And inevitably, in every single one of the shows, somebody sneaks in. And all the call screeners, all the producers here know it at this point that I'm not going to turn away a Celtics call. So the board here will say, like, you know, David Price, Chris Sale, Celtics offseason. You know, just random, because people associate me with talking Celtics. So by all means, tonight we spent the first hour and a half of the program talking about Rob Gronkowski, talking about the likelihood that I think he's going to retire in the offseason. We can continue with that conversation. But by all means, I mean, eventually here, we were going to talk some Celtics. I'm still planning on talking some Celtics to finish up the show here. They're showing signs of life right now in Utah, trying to make another fourth quarter comeback. And again, I don't really encourage falling behind by close to 20 points every night to sort of wake a team up. The Celtics last year, that was a bit of their identity. They fell behind quite often, but they were the team that never, ever, ever gave up. And they had some incredibly epic comebacks last year, and that was a big part of their identity last year. Now there's plenty of time left in this game, and despite the fact that they fell way behind there in the third quarter, and despite the fact that they've let Joe Ingles just absolutely blow up tonight, 25 points, 9 of 12 from the field, 5 of 8 from 3, he has been unstoppable. The Celtics are right in this game, down by 9 with 9 minutes, 21 seconds remaining in the game, 98-89. So we'll continue to keep you guys updated on what the Celtics are doing here tonight. And if they're able to pull this one off, and even if they don't, if they get this thing down to 2 or 3 points and show that heart without Kyrie Irving, that to me shows me something as well. Because let's face it, that epic comeback last night, yeah, and I call it epic even though it was against the JV team and the Suns, they did that on the back, on the shoulders of Kyrie Irving. He was incredible. He was electric. He defined what being a leader is, Dale Arnold, okay? That's what leaders do, and that's what the elite, transformative superstars in the NBA are capable of doing. And Kyrie's just been on a tear through the last 5-6 games, an absolute tear, playing at an MVP caliber level. So that's a big loss for the Celtics, not having him there and available tonight. But it's understandable. He's got a family thing to deal with at his grandfather's memorial service. Until then, what we got here is the Celtics doing one thing very, very well tonight offensively. They've got 5 guys right now in double figures, soon to be 6 guys in double figures. So Gordon Hayward with 11, Jason Tatum 13, Al Horford 13, Terry Rozier 13, Marcus Morris once again off the bench, 16 big points, and Jaylen Brown, he's got 9. So soon to be 6 players in double figures. That's what you need, is a balanced scoring attack if you don't have your best player, right? So that to me is a very, very, very encouraging sign about this team and its continued maturity. They still have a long way to go. But without Kyrie Irving tonight, the fact that they're hanging around in this game, the fact that they're not willing to just roll over to Utah, these are good signs. I'm very curious, very anxious to see how the Celtics finish this thing out tonight, and I will continue to keep you guys updated as the Celtics now trail by 9, 100-91, with about 8 minutes remaining in the game. It is Sports Radio WEI. It is late night. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. Let's grab another one here before the break. Let's go to Paul. Paul's in Westfield. Paul, you're next up here on WEI.
Pat, before I give you a hot take, 2 hot takes, you sell 100 million lollipops, 50 cents
Yep.
You do 50 million in sales, 50 million, 50 cents at a time is 100 million miles.
And that's in the U.S. alone. We're in 53 countries. So we manufacture the U.S. product in Ohio and our sales offices here in New Hampshire. But everything that's made for the South American market's made in Brazil, because the trade deals that we have are horrific. So if you make a food product in the U.S. and you want to export it to South America, the duties and fees make it so you just can't sell it at retail after the duties and fees are paid for. So what we did was we invested another $3 million into a state-of-the-art line. We dropped that into Brazil for the South American market. And then for the European market and Asian market, we invested a $3 million line into a new factory in Istanbul. So we are the number one lollipop in the world in unit sales.
Wow, that's awesome. But like Storm said, you got to line their pockets. That's why you can't afford the tariffs and imports to some third country dictatorship. They can make millions off the sweat of them laborers, you know?
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I'm with you. But I got to tell you, if you have to sell something for a living, right? Nobody grows up saying, you know, I want to be a career salesman. But that's what I have been. So I've worked for two companies in my professional sales career. So, and I've been doing this since 2002. I spent 10 years at a company called ERC Wiping Products, where I literally sold wiping rags, like cut up old t-shirts. And that was a $20 million a year business, incredibly successful 100-year-old company. And we sold wiping rags from everybody to your local mechanic to the U.S. government and military installations. And now I sell candy, and I make a very good living doing it. So the point here is, Paul, you can make a good living selling just about anything.
Yes, Jerry. When I was in eighth grade, I had to beat the Sullivan twins because they combined their sales. So I set up a stand at Abdow's Big Boy in Westfield and at the hospital, and I sold like almost 800 candy bars and set a record and got my motor baton bike. So I have been doing the same thing forever. It's a fascinating business.
It's awesome, man. It's awesome.
Pat, on Grant, there's a lesson to learn here. And, you know, you say you've been doing this 19. I've been doing this 15. I remember 10, 8, 7. Ever since Gronk was going the extra 2 inches and getting hit twice as hard, I'm saying step out, hit the deck, because this is going to end your career early. And it's sure enough, it looks like it clearly has altered him. Now, at 29, like you're saying, with Tom still there, we're hoping he can rebuild and put the machine together. And think if you could take this attitude. Like when I first got into politics, I used to say, you know, go ahead, take two. The first one's on me. And then I'd take the shot, and then I could not get charged. That's politics, and I have the scars to prove it. But now I've learned to step aside and not get touched. And like Tom is doing, think if you can incorporate that. And I've seen it a lot more lately where I'm applauding the players because, like I said, like someone was saying today, if you can step out or down and avoid getting smashed up over your career, that's a big difference. And you're not going to get the billions that the NFLs get. You're going to get a have a nice day, a little bit of pension here and there, and then you'd be older one day wondering whether it was worth it. And they need to really think about that, looking at what poor Gronk's been through. He is only 29.
Yeah, he's only 29, and he looks like physically he's at the tail end, Paul, and it's unfortunate. And if he had taken sort of the approach that you think he should have taken, maybe he wouldn't have been considered the best tight end in NFL history, because I think a lot of those little extras that he did really helped elevate him to the status that he was at when he was at his peak. But you're right, he probably could have held on for at least the last 2 or 3 years of Tom Brady's career. Now, it'll be unfortunate if Tom Brady winds up finishing out his career without having Gronk by his side.
Yeah, absolutely. And to add emphasis to this, you can illustrate the point of Michael Vick, RG3, Cam Newton, and I'm telling you, Zach Prescott in Dallas is already showing signs. Let's see what a running quarterback, how that works for you. And it just doesn't. And I'm really glad last night that they ejected the Carolina player, because Big Ben had already begun to slide and full head dives towards him as he's in a slide, automatic ejection. This is an entertainment and a sport, and it's awesome. But they got to live life after football.
Oh, you're right about that, Paul. And listen, I appreciate the phone call, and I think that's a part of the motivation here if Gronk eventually does retire. I think that the fact that he's got to live life after football and the fact that he's got his life sort of mapped out post-football, that he wants to be in entertainment. He wants to be somebody who stays in the public eye. He wants to be somebody who makes a living in the movies or makes a living with wrestling or makes a living in motocross or makes a living doing a little bit of everything. He's not going to be the guy that sort of just disappears, you know, has his money and moves away and is no longer in the public eye. The moment that Gronk retires, he's going to retire with multiple offers on the table to do something rather significant in the public eye for the remainder of his sort of adult life. And I say, you know, until he's no longer able to be the Rob Gronkowski that we all recognize. And I say that, and I think about action stars like Sylvester Stallone, who's 71 years old and is still in incredible physical shape and is still making great movies. So Gronk could very well have another 30 or 40 years in the public eye in front of him. But for him to pull that off, he needs to get out of football somewhat unscathed. He needs to get out of football without a crippling physical injury, or more importantly, get out of football successfully without becoming a mental midget because of CTE issues. So he's got all these things to consider, and it's one thing if you're considering them on one hand, right? You're still the most dynamic tight end in the NFL. If you're still putting up incredible numbers as he was in the peak of his career, it's very hard to walk away when you're doing that. It's not quite as hard to walk away when your numbers are looking pedestrian and you've got to fight tooth and nail with your body just to make it on the field to put up those pedestrian numbers. It is Sports Radio WEI. When we come back, there is still room for you at 617-779-7937.
Talk all Boston sports with Patrick Gilroy on Sports Radio WEEI.
Final segment here, late night Sports Radio WEEI. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. And a couple of nights ago, we were in here and we talked about sort of the fact that between all the jobs that I have, my full-time career and coming in here part-time, seemingly every night lately, and then coaching my kids' basketball team and dealing with having two kids and a wife, there isn't much time left over for watching a lot of television. And the fact is this, I watch most of my TV during my daily run. I run 6 miles a day, regardless of what Kirk Minahan says. I know I'm a chubby guy, but I run 6 miles a day, and I have for the last 20 years. I've also run 3 marathons in the last 5 years, and I'm running the Disney Marathon in January, but that's besides the point. When I'm doing my hour run Monday through Friday, it's generally on a treadmill. I'm on my lunch break, and that's when I get my hour of TV time for the most part. I have my iPad up on the treadmill, and I run, and I listen, and I watch, and you know that's awesome. And for the most part, since Breaking Bad went off the air 5 years ago, the show that I sort of morphed into falling in love with and watching religiously was The Walking Dead, is The Walking Dead. And we talked the other night about the fact that, spoiler alert, if you didn't watch the last episode of The Walking Dead, I would turn off your radio now, but Rick lived. So there was all this buildup since May that Andrew Lincoln was retiring, wanted to go back to overseas where he's from and be with his young family, and they were going to kill him off, essentially. And that was the rumor. They decided not only not to kill him off, they left his story open-ended, but they announced on AMC following the episode, on the episode of the Talking Dead that immediately follows The Walking Dead, they announced that Rick is still alive, and not only is he alive, he's coming back to do 3 Walking Dead movies, which will continue the Rick Grimes story. And it's awesome, right? If you're a Walking Dead fan, what's better than Rick Grimes not only being alive? You don't have to imagine what he's doing somewhere out there. It's not fictional. He's going to, and it's fictional, but you know what I mean. So many times these things are left open-ended, and you don't know what the character is doing. But not only did they leave it open-ended, they immediately announced, following the conclusion of the episode, that not only is this open-ended, we're going to film 3 Hollywood movies with Andrew Lincoln as Rick Grimes. And that's awesome. And then the next day, AMC, the same channel, announces, oh, by the way, we're going to make a Breaking Bad movie as well. I mean, these are two of the best television shows, I think, in the last 25 years. And I'm not alone in that assessment of these shows. These are two of the greatest, most well-written shows, most well-responded to shows. The fan response to this has been incredible. And most people thought after the conclusion of Breaking Bad 5 years ago that that was it. right? Because it was the perfect ending. It was the perfect conclusion. Nobody was really clamoring for any more. However, the fact is this. They decided that they are going to make this movie. It's going to be made by the same people that made the Breaking Bad television show. They're all coming back together. Vince Gilligan's behind this thing, and this is a huge deal. So they've already announced that Aaron Paul, the guy that plays Jesse Pinkman and, you know, made the word bitch so funny and so famous, the world's sort of worst meth maker at the beginning, becomes one of the world's greatest meth makers at the end, and he's one of these anti-heroes, right? And I loved it. He gets kidnapped sort of at the tail end of the series, and he's forced to make meth for somebody else, and he eventually breaks out, but he breaks out and he's got like murder raps that he's got to overcome, and he's got all this, the weight of everything that he has been involved in is on his shoulders. So yes,
I am not in danger, Skyler. I am the danger.
He gets away, but that's how it ends, right? So Walter White dies seemingly and Jesse gets away. But what happens to Jesse after he gets away? And that's when the movie's going to pick up. The movie's going to pick up at that scene, essentially, where Jesse's in the car. He has been kidnapped. He looks terrible. He's beat to hell, and he's getting away. But what happens to his life after that? You know, does he have to take a murder rap or two or three? Does he leave the country? Does he get back into selling the blue meth? Who knows? Like, it's just going to be awesome. So now AMC, a channel that has been blessed to have shows like Breaking Bad and shows like The Walking Dead and now Better Call Saul, some of the best well-written shows on television, has announced four movie projects this week. Three movies for The Walking Dead and one Breaking Bad movie. It's absolutely incredible stuff. This is what I'm looking forward to now. It is probably going to be a year or two till we see these movies. They're going to start filming the Breaking Bad movie next month. It's got a working title right now of Greenbrier. So they're going to film November to late February, early March, which means a late 2019 launch date. And I cannot wait. It's going to be awesome. This has been Sports Radio WEI Late Night. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Quick Celtics update. Celtics had a chance here, but it looks like they're letting it slip away. But a minute and a half left in the game. Utah 114, the Celtics 107. I'm sure we'll talk about this and other things when I come back here next week for more late night action. Right now, you want to stay tuned. It's NBC Sports Radio. That comes up next right here on Sports Radio WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.